pray. Heavenly Father, we're again grateful to be here in your presence, knowing, Lord, that this is the last hour, that the gospel is going forth. This is the last age. Brother Branham said, I'm in my evening time. And he certainly let us know the time was running out, literally, as far as equating it to eternity and what has already gone before. Time literally has run out. It's just staggering into the fast few footsteps until the resurrection. We pray, Lord, that as this time approaches, really right here, breaking upon us, that we'll be strong in thee, Lord, the power of thy might, and taking thy grace, Lord, in all ways in the very lives we now live, so that you might be glorified, Lord, and we in our turn glorified as that great hour approaches. Help us in our studies tonight, Lord. Guide us. May there be no carelessness, Lord. May there be no taking of anything, Lord, we ought not to take, but may we just be very, very right in this word tonight, Lord, and the very one. So help our thoughts now as we give them over to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I don't think we'll take too much time tonight, get very far into the message of the token, but in our studies thus far, I've taken my time to present my understanding to you of this message of the token that Brother Branham is speaking of. Number one, he's speaking of the individual believer's personal token, which is the baptism with the Holy Ghost. Now, you mustn't ever forget that, because he's dealing with each person who must be full of the Holy Spirit to be part of that bride. Number two, the Holy Spirit himself coming to the church, not to the individual, but to all members collectively. Now, there are two things there that I'm afraid are not understood by many people. They do understand the first one, that there is such a thing as a personal baptism with the Holy Ghost. By one Spirit are you all baptized into one body. That's very true. But to understand the Holy Spirit coming to the church at this time is something that they don't seem to understand. Now, on page 10, in the fourth paragraph, oh, we are living in the shadows, and the wrath is ready to strike, and God is requiring a token that you yourself have received, his token, the Holy Ghost. Now, that's what he said. We're living in the shadows, the wrath's all ready to strike, and God is requiring a token that you yourself have received, his token, the Holy Ghost. And, of course, if you haven't received it, he's demanding that you do. It is the only way and the only sign that God will ever pass, because it is the literal life of Jesus Christ returned back into the believer. The literal life turned back. Now, we could actually pause there and go into some thoughts, but I'll just let that go. Now, in desperation for the second point, on page 5, Brother Branham says, and now the entire Holy Spirit visits the church, making God in human flesh as he did before Sodom, the burning there, which was a type. Now, you can't bypass that one. Evidently, the entire Holy Spirit had not visited the church as he's visiting now. If he had, which is fine, that would be in the Ephesian church age, the very first church age. But you notice he says, the entire Holy Spirit. Then on page 19, we haven't got that far yet, but I'll just skip over to it. In the about the second paragraph, what is sin? Unbelief. You've disbelieved the message. You've disbelieved the word. Now, you can take the word there as logos, which would be God manifesting himself, as we see there in signs and wonders and so on, proving himself by the word. Or you can just take it to be the literal word itself. There was a word of promise for this hour, and it has become a message. And the message, of course, is the word of promise for this hour. Now, I said, you've disbelieved the message, you've disbelieved the word. Actually, they disbelieved both. Let's put it down there. You've disbelieved the witness of the token itself, when it has identified itself in the midst of us. And you have disbelieved that. No matter how much you disbelieve it, it has got to be applied. So you see right there, you're noticing that Brother Branham is speaking of the person of the Holy Spirit itself, or himself, and then he's speaking of the relationship of that Holy Spirit to each individual, as well as the church, and each individual must be baptized of that Spirit, even as the church must have the visitation of that baptizer. Now, you see, that last sentence or part was the catch. See, the thought is, well, he's always been with us. So it's like Brother Brown has said about a message. If there's going to be a message given, it won't be the same old tired message. Like he said, if there's a real genuine healing revival, then there's got to be a new message, not a new patch on an old garment. Because he said, what good would it be for God to repeat the thing you already know? Why would he do this if there wasn't something there that you hadn't had? Now, you know that that's scriptural. That's just the way it goes. All right? Now, you can see that what we've said here is absolutely Ephesians 1. And now, you know that's I never get away from Ephesians 1. Not now and when I die and when I resurrect. However I come up, it's just, there it is. Because that's, the Word of God doesn't pass away, even though it's fulfilled in this respect, because we're going to be that fulfilled Word going on. Now he said here, in whom you also you trusted after that you heard the word of faith, that's verse 13 in the first chapter of Ephesians, the gospel of your salvation, whom also after that you believe, you received that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest, the down payment or the token of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession under the praise of his glory. Now it tells you that what you got is going to hold you instead, that is, is going to stand there for you as your guarantee, as a witness, as a sign, as a token, assurance. It's going to stand there until your body is redeemed, that you're glorified. Now that's what he's telling you. Now notice, this church was started in Acts 19 under Paul. Brother Branham will go into that, so just let it lie there. But what I want to bring out is that they had received the Holy Ghost. And notice what he says, wherefore also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now that's not the earnest. That's not the token that guarantees you your personal resurrection. This is a visitation to the church. Something else to the church, though, goes to each individual at the time that this is given. What is given? Not the Holy Spirit given to the individuals over again, but a revelation. Because that's what he's sent for. He's not sent here to put you into the bride. Up here, he already has got you in the bride. So this is to those who are in the bride, and they're showing forth that love and that excellence. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. It doesn't stop there, but it says, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward, who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ. Now that's not Christ, that's God. I'm talking now of the anointed man. The flesh, the word becoming flesh. See? Now, he tells you here, that power which God wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him in his own right hand. Now, I know there's only one spirit, but when you talk about one spirit, you've got to talk about one God, and he's Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. He's three opposites. He's Son of Man, Son of David, Son of God. Three again. And there's more. The lily of the valley. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He's the I Am, the truth, the way. He's all of these things, but he's one person. So therefore, now you have an adaptation of God in his plan of redemption. He seals you in by a modicum, a little tiny bit of his spirit, you know, delights it. I'll maybe describe it later on again. Then he himself comes on the scene. And you notice, it's that power that he wrought when he raised Jesus from the dead comes forth after this revelation. See? And set him in his own right hand. So the same thing happens to us. Revelation, resurrection, rapture. Shout, voice, trumpet. Now people can do what they want with that. As I've said before, go to your theologians and see what they say about this. They haven't got the answer. I'm no theologian, but I'm a far better theologian than any theologian ever lived since the first century. Why? Because Brother Branham taught it. No credit of mine, no credit of yours. If you know anything, I know anything. But God sent a messenger. Either they don't want the messenger, they don't want the message, they want the Holy Ghost. But they'll claim they got the Holy Ghost, you see? Now, that's what you got to watch about this message. There's a blend in here where these run together, and yet they're separate. And then he brings them right together. And you say, well, he's looking back. And you watch, he's looking right at this minute. And you think he's looking way down there. Back somewhere. He's talking right now. He's making a comparison. So you've got your watch. And I'm not supposed to hear as your watchdog, so to speak, or someone watching over you. But I'm trying to bring this to your attention. All right. What we saw here then, Brother Brown is speaking in terms of the literal baptism with the Holy Ghost to the individual, for the individual, upon the individual. Now the fullness of the Holy Spirit comes into the church, and he types it as God in human flesh, as he did before Sodom. Now God himself made a body that he came down in and appeared as a man amongst three men, two other men, three altogether, to Abraham. And Sodom burned. Now, you'll notice that William Branham took the role in the drama as though he were God himself, which he was not, but he was a vicar. Now look, let's hit the vicar. Everybody is up against the Catholic people. They don't know left hand from a right foot and split beans from buttermilk or whatever Jack Bell would try to tell you. All they can do is rant and rave about the vicar of Christ, vicar of Christ, vicar of Christ. I'm going to tell you something. That word is legitimate because it means instead of. And Paul even reduces you and me. He said, we're ambassadors instead of Jesus Christ. That makes us vicars. So, Peter stood there on the day of Pentecost as a vicar. Now, the Catholics were mixed up there. Every church age has been a vicar. Paul was the first vicar. Because it's unto the messenger, which is in the church in Ephesus, these things. And then he says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And those people couldn't hear one single solitary thing God or any spirit was saying outside of Paul. So Paul was the Holy Ghost of the people.
Amen.
He was the vicar of Christ in the real, true, wonderful, glorious sense that only God could confer upon anybody. And then you watch his deportment, his demeanor. Oh, was he out there boasting and flabbergasting the people how great fella he was and mincing around and tippy-toeing and pulling all kinds of evangelistic stunts? Oh, I hope you're getting what I'm saying, but that man was so solid gold, so pure, there wasn't one bit of sham in him. There was nothing but Christ. Of course, that's the way we should be. By the grace of God, we will be before we get out of here. Something will happen somewhere down the road. But that man was real. And then look at Irenaeus. See? And there was Martin and Columba. We never saw the sterling qualities. We couldn't. Because, you see, the measure of the Holy Ghost and the Word was at one. And there was less and less. And as it begins to come back, there's more and more. Until in this hour, certainly you come right back to where there was a vicar like Paul. You'd have to. You'd have to have something of that stature. So we want you to understand this very, very carefully. Brother Branham, what he was saying here. Now, we also want to remember that Brother Branham emphatically warned us that though we might be well aware of the Holy Spirit, we may fail to be baptized of Him. Now that can happen so easy. You know, it's something like when Jesus showed Himself and they bleed not for joy. You know, you can get carried away with the ministry and carried away with what is going on and many things until you just fail to realize that the impact doesn't lie in what is manifested, but in what is the manifester of what is manifested. And I'm afraid that's what Brother Branham is saying here. He said you could well fail to be baptized even though you know he's here. We might very well accept his presence, but not his infilling it. Now the majority accept the infilling, but can't accept his presence, then how full can they be? Now look, we're not trying to hurt anybody's feelings because that's not the issue. That's not the issue at all. The issue is simply the Word of God. How does it work within the framework? What is it all about? See? All right. And further to that, he mentioned that this token could only come at this hour of the last church age with the last messenger and the last message. Now, look, if the Holy Spirit can only come at this hour, and you don't understand and believe that's different from the baptism with the Holy Ghost, so it's a precise visitation of the fullness, as Brother Branham said, there's something wrong with your thinking. Because anybody knows by one spirit are you baptized into one body, and you must be born again, and the born again experience is a baptism with the Holy Ghost. They say, well, maybe all through the ages they weren't getting born again. Well, throw your Bible in the gutter. Come on, you can't have your foolish is foolish and stupid is stupid, but you can't blame God. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now make up your mind. See, there's something wrong somewhere. Okay, all right. This token could only come at the last hour, the evening time. He said, this token. Now, let us not fail to emphasize the thrust of this message, even as Brother Branham does. Here is the thrust. All seven church ages have looked forward to this hour, which is the hour of the return of the pillar of fire. Now, see, just a minute. I don't know if they ever read anywhere anybody looked at that pillar of fire. Well, just a minute, brother, sister. Maybe they didn't know it would come in the pillar of fire any more than some of your husband or his boyfriend or girlfriend, whatever it's going to be, going to give you a nice little present if you want it. You didn't know how it's going to come to UPS or mail and brought to the door by him or her or whatever it is, and how it's going to be wrapped up. But you were going to get a present. So they knew there was going to be a return. Now, they didn't understand it. That involved a mystery. It could only be taken care of in the last hour. But they waited for that pillar of fire, not knowing perhaps it was the pillar of fire, and yet those great men, without preaching it, or their sermons caught, could have said the pillar of fire will return. Christ in his fullness amongst us has identified himself to us. Now remember, before Sodom, there was that one in flesh. And Brother Branham, being that faithful vicar, did exactly what God did, demonstrating and showing how God could, in a human flesh, in a body, could stand outside that tent, stare behind him, and read her heart, know it perfectly. See? All right, now God amongst us in his fullness. Now, Christ in his fullness has identified himself to us, even to the point where his picture, both sides here, were taken. We know who he is, even as Paul knew. The Lord Jesus Christ of Hebrews 13 and 8. Jesus Christ is saying, yes, he named forever, which is Jehovah. That's why the Jesus of the New Testament has to act like the Jehovah of the Old Testament, because he's proving the point of Jesus and one God and water baptism. See, you understand. It was Jehovah back there. It's Jehovah now. Not two Jehovahs, one Jehovah. See? Brother Bannon mentioned that time the Father, but now as Son. The reason he's here is to lead us out of Babylon and into the millennium. But even as God was with Israel, now watch, even as God personally, in the pillar of fire and manifested, was with Israel to lead them out of Egypt and into the promised land to fulfill his covenant with Abraham of Genesis 15, 13, 14, which was, I'm going to let your people go to captivity. 400 years, they'll be evil and treated, but I'll bring them up with a high hand. Bring them right back here. All right. Even as God was with Israel in the pillar of fire. That's God, period. We know that. To lead them out of Egypt into the promised land, to fulfill his covenant with Abraham, he yet demanded a token of them in addition to his presence. Now watch it. To get the understanding Brother Branham wants to have. God said, I'm going to do it. And God's bound to do it. Didn't tell him how. When the time came, he did it. Now, to get them out of there, so they wouldn't be visited by death, which is in the land, they had to have a token. So I want you to notice something here. Presence plus token. Amen. The person of God plus a token demanded of God. See? Follow? In addition to his presence. Thus today, God demands the token of his own life in the believer. God's presence in the pillar of fire can and will deliver his bride into the millennium. But every bride member must be full of Christ's Spirit. By one Spirit you baptize into one body. If any man are not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. And of course, many, many scriptures, the one we like the best of all, epitomize it. Ephesians 1:13-14. Now, so, today God demands the token of his own life in the believer. God's presence in the pillar of fire can and will deliver his bride at the millennium, but every bride member must be full of the Holy Spirit, even as every Israelite had to have blood upon the doorpost of his house. They had to have it. They didn't make it. Each member has to have the Holy Ghost. Israel as a nation was completely sealed in by God, separated and sealed away from Egypt and her power, and though she suffered physically, there is no record of death amongst them. I don't know one place where it said they killed them. There might have been some, but I don't know record. Not saying we can't die at this hour. I'm just telling you something here. That life is in the air, not death. All right? They suffered. But instead, the plague of death struck the Egyptians, even as the second death will now strike in this hour. Today, each member of the bride must be Spirit-filled. Each member sealed in. And the pillar of fire is taking headship over all of her, the whole body. Brother Branham said, we're back to headship. And he said, how denominations fade away. There's no big ones amongst, no little ones. There's no popes, no bishops, no cardinals, no district presbyters. Now they can be presbyters, the elders, but not district presbyters. No bishops and so on. God himself, by a prophet, has confirmed his promise of a rapture. That's deliverance. He has delivered his own word for the hour, and will soon raise the dead and take a bride up to the wedding supper. The price of redemption is completely paid. The token that gives us passage is available and must be obtained from God and presented at this hour. We are only to believe it and receive it, and an abundant entrance is ours for the taking, or the asking, or the moving into it. Now, you can see this message is already a part of the rapture. Before Brother Branham preached the rapture, you can see this was a part of it. What he did with the rapture, he epitomized everything that he said concerning his ministry and what was going on. Now, before we turn to page 12 and paragraph 8, we want to keep costly in mind Brother Branham's reference to Israel requiring the token of the blood, which today is replaced by the token of the Holy Spirit, and this is a message for this hour, the midnight hour, the going in. It doesn't belong to Pentecost, Brother Citron. If you think it does, you're entirely wrong. You missed the point. If you think it belongs to Wesley, you're wrong. It's not that the Pentecostals do not have the Holy Spirit. They did not have the Holy Spirit. It's not that the Methodists were not born again. It is not that the Lutherans were not born again, and so on. That's true. They were born again. But when he said, you Lutherans potentially had the Holy Ghost. You Wesleyans potentially had the Holy Ghost. And you meant that potentially had the Holy Ghost. He was speaking of the person of Almighty God in the form of the Holy Spirit in the pillar of fire. And that's the appearance. But who wants to believe it? All right? For a little while. We'll go back to page 12, paragraph 8, start. Now the Spirit, this hour, itself is the token. The Holy Spirit itself is the token, not the blood. Now, the blood was the chemistry or chemicals which were visible. Now, the point is, how visible is it if you have the Holy Spirit? The visibility is nil. There has to have been some action come out of you to demonstrate the Holy Spirit is there. How much demonstration can there be? There can be a lot of it, because you can be anointed with the true power of the Holy Spirit and have gifts and signs and wonders and many virtues and all, and be just as big a radical away from God as Judas was. You could be a Balaam. Prophesy ever so correctly. You could do a lot of things and be entirely gone. But we're talking now of something far greater. He said, for the very Spirit itself is the token. Not something that's being done now. Although that goes without saying. The Holy Spirit itself is the token, not the blood. The blood was shed at Calvary, that is true. But the blood, as far as this, went back to the elements from whence it came, from the food he lived on. Well, there's many things people say about the blood. That he carried it up to the heavens, because the Bible said the heavens must be purified by a better blood than the blood of bulls and goats. Also dropped upon the ground to purify the earth, signifying the earth would come forth at its resurrection in due time. Also the earth dropped upon the earth, signifying that we could come back with redeemed bodies, because that's exactly what we'll be. It'll be the things which God formed our bodies out of that they're going to come back to, but they won't be the same bodies. They'll be glorified bodies, but he'll bring them back in the dust and the ashes or whatsoever. Now it says here, the blood in his veins dropped out upon the earth, and it disintegrated. Did it all? I don't know. But whichever way you look at it, and I believe it's exactly what he said here, he's trying to make a point that it's not the blood, but there's something to do with the blood. You see? All right. But you see, inside that blood cell was a life. That's what he's talking about. See? So that's, he's not denigrating the blood. I'm not trying to put it to a lower standard. But he's trying to show you something here. No matter how much you revere what you are standing on, if a message comes vindicated by a man of God, you had better leave what you're standing on, unless it's been vindicated by the prophet of that man that God sent. Now you tell me the churches that can do that. No. Every church comes out and said, now we came out because of new life. We and our fathers came out, our parents, if they were parents, we came out because there was light presented and they didn't want it. But every time you watch, listen, don't you understand what Jesus said to those Pharisees? He said, you say now, if we'd been living back there, we wouldn't have killed the prophets and put them in jails and done everything. He said, your own confession proved you've got the same blood and the same spirit. Your murder is just like theirs. It, oh, no, no, no. Look at these bunch. Look, modern 20th century leaving. Not too modern, but still 20th century. I've heard them say it. You get it? I heard them say it. I was there when it was said by the big mogul up there in Canada. And he said, we better be careful. Light came to the message through Pentecost. They turned it down. And if further light should come, let us be careful. We don't turn it down. They turned down the oneness of the Godhead and baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ just like that. I'm not trying to throw stink bombs or smoke bombs, but the man's dead by now. Reverend George R. Upton must be dead by now. If he isn't, that's fine by me. Live as long as he wants, as long as God wants him. But he's the man that said it. Where is Pentecost today? See? That's the thing right now. That's very interesting. All right. Now, going back. But you see, inside that blood cell was the light that started the blood cell to moving. Now, he's telling you there's something behind that blood. There was a light in the blood. See, look. It's like the Bible teaching in Genesis 1. Let the earth bring forth the creatures, the moving creatures, the sea bring forth the creatures. Well, you know the earth didn't do it. You know the sea didn't do it. Then the Word of God tells you later, God formed them. See? What did he do? The spirits were there like the spirit of Adam was there to be clothed. It was there and God clothed them. Now, there is a life, and that life has to have a clothing on it. And there is a life that's in the blood, because that's associated to the fact of bringing the food. That's what Brother Brown said here, the food. It was there. See, now the blood could go anywhere that God chose to put it. See, that wouldn't matter too much. That's why people appall me when they worry about the blood on the mercy or altar mercy. Look, the blood has been shed. And if you're full of the Holy Ghost, you leave it all to God. So what would it matter how God, what God did with the blood, or how he was predisposed to dispose of it, if indeed he did? There's a life that counts. See, that's the thing you're looking at. Now let's go a little further. There's a life that made that blood start moving. There's a life in there. Hard to understand, but it's still there. If it wasn't, the chemistry had no life in it itself. That's right, there's no life in the food and these things you eat. You eat a piece of bread, what life is there? There's nourishment there. You eat a piece of steak, if it's good steak. Something good to eat. Vegetables and things, fruit. What good would it be if you were just a body here and the blood here and there wasn't a life in there? Wouldn't do any good. See, you got to watch it, that life. Now, if it wasn't, the chemistry had no life in itself, and therefore it could not move. But when the life came into the chemistry of the blood, it formed a cell. It formed its own cell, then cell after cell. That'd be like a clone, almost. You've got to be careful there. Said Brother Brand didn't say God cloned himself. He said took sperm and egg. See, he's got different things, so you watch these things. But along that line. And it became a man. And that man was God, Emmanuel in flesh. Now he tells you what happened. See? The life in the blood brings forth children. Brings forth a lot of things. But you got to have that life in that blood, or the blood itself is nothing. But the blood was shed, it signified that your life was gone. It was the wrong kind of a life. Animal life could not come back upon the believer. Now watch what he says here. But when that life returned back to chemistry, went into it. Now the life didn't turn back, it returned. He doesn't have to use the word back, but he returned. The life returned. It had to have a chemistry. That's why your bodies are temples of the Holy Ghost. And you've got a life now that supersedes the life that's in your blood because you got the life out of His blood. See, now you've got two in there. That's why your life and my life have got to be annihilated. It's got to go out of there. It's got to go down. Now, but the token is the Holy Ghost upon the church that they see Christ. Now, the other life makes people to see you and me. This new life should make people see Christ. Then if the giver of life should come to the church, and that spirit be upon the church, that's the bride, to whatever way God wants it. Well, that's the sticker right there. Whatever way God wants it. Then they will see Christ. Now, there's lots of things in Scripture. Well, there's two particularly. Number one, we start with every single member, male and female, Greek, Jew, Gentile, who cares? Color doesn't mean a thing. All right, right there, that person full of the Holy Ghost, that's very fine, and God can use that person. How? Whatever God wants, gifts, manifestation, anything you want. Then he's got a ministry, a fivefold ministry, and they're gifted. So now you can see it again. And people say, that's fine. But when you come to the fact of a prophet, they say, forget it. And that's strange. Because that's how God always did it. Because your prophet is the highest order there is. People say apostle. No, no. The word prophet. The prophet of the word. Then apostles, prophets. That's a different order. You see? All right. They see Christ. If it's truly that token, that spirit, that life. Now, it has to be because a man, a woman and her husband become one. Now, you're back to uniting time. This is the hour of the mystical union of Christ and the bride. Now, my brother, sister, I want you to watch particularly here because he's playing almost the ends against the middle. That which comes through the ages, which is the individual baptism, to the baptizer at the end time. Which is the token can only come at the union time. Oh, come on now. You mean everybody gets, it doesn't matter who it is, doesn't have to be born again? That's not the way I understand Scripture, not the way Brother Branham taught it to my knowledge. I went in person, in fact. Phoenix, Arizona, I said, Brother Branham, I want you to go to this last chapter in the church age with me, because I said, you were not telling anybody that Luther and Wesley and those men of those ages did not have the Holy Ghost. He's by no means known. Yet people were saying, well, there's a true baptism. There is a true baptism, but it's not the baptism speaking in tongues and prophesying and coming out denying God, head and water baptism. Right. Yeah. You see what I'm talking about? Same thing the prophet talked about. A true baptism with the Holy Ghost will say amen to every word a prophet brings. And when you can't say amen, there's something wrong with you. You haven't got the spirit that's in that person. Or the spirit that's from the spirit that's manifested. See? You've got a manifestation there. I don't say revere it and fall down and, boy, look at here. I'm going to tell you something. The Roman Catholic Church had that. Sure. That's better than plaster cast images, little tears rolling out of your eyes. And a couple of foolish, not foolish, but peculiar things. Now, I'm not against them. It's just It just doesn't tally. I haven't got any plan for that. That's fine by me. Now, it has to be because a woman and her husband become one. They become one, and so does the bride and Christ become one. The ministry of the bride and the ministry of Christ is the same. If it's a true bride, you bet it is. Sure. Now, you remember the former treatise, O Theophilus, I wrote to you, that Jesus began to do and continues to do. Didn't say he continued to do, but he throws it into the future from the began to do, which future is our present. Not that he didn't do, but there's some things he could not do because it wasn't time to do them. See, no way. I know people don't go for this, but that's fine by me. We're not talking just everybody. We're talking to you. Now, his death didn't stop him. No, sir, he returned again. Not a third person, but the same person turned back again, returned back in the form of Spirit, and it continues to work on and continues on, said the book of Acts. And that is exactly true. There has been a continuing ministry. A portion of the Holy Spirit, a portion of the Word. Ministered. See? But there's a promise for the end time. Good. Jesus Christ is saying yesterday, today, and forever. That is the token. That is the sign. All right? Very good. I want to ask you a question. What has Jesus Christ got to do being the same yesterday, today, and forever when it comes to the seven church ages and people being full of the Holy Ghost? Why do you say, if he was that, he would always be that, and of course from that would come this Holy Ghost. Exactly right. But why does he prove it now if he didn't prove it back there? Why is it now? Why is it before the fire at Sodom and Gomorrah, he every single time takes his type in the Exodus? Either William Branham is a smart crackpot, a subtle devil, but he fails on all those counts because he didn't even make a ripple in the church. So he wasn't much of a deceiver. So let's get down to the fact that he was right, vindicated by God. And I want you to get the picture here. He never took you back to Methodism or Pentecost or Luther or any place else when he hit this on the same yesterday, today, and forever. He took you specifically to Genesis 18. And Exodus 12. Why? Why, you say, well, he was kind of not too smart. He's a pretty dumb guy, so he just didn't have many illustrations. Is that a fact? Well, that's for them to say what they want to say. I can't buy that. But the whole trust was Jehovah the Old and Jesus the New. And he took us back continually. That this one here, back there, back there. All right. When Peter and John passed through the gate called Beautiful, there laid a man who had been crippled, lame in his mother's womb. He said, silver and gold have been none. Such as have I given you the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. They talked to them and knew they were ignorant and unlearned men, and they took notice of them. They had been with Jesus. See, the token was there displayed. See. Very good. The token was displayed. Fine. The men had ministry. Goes on. Such as I have seen the poor fallen brother laying there, crippled, disfigured, everything, the same life that was in Christ was in them, such as I have. Sure, and all three of them, Peter, James, and John, and all at the day of Pentecost, and all the 3,000 later, and all the 5,000 later, and then Paul, down the road later, all had the Holy Spirit. See, the token displayed there. Such as I have, seeing the poor fallen brother there, and so on, and in my name you'll cast out devils. Now watch. Not I will, you will. If you say it is none, not if I say, if you say. Now, where did that take place just now? So you see, you can read this, you can read Brother Branham's sermon, you can hear it. And if you're still a good Pentecostal boy, or a good Baptist boy, or good whatever you are, you're just going to play it according to your understanding. You'll just stay right where you are, spinning your wheel. You're not going to get anywhere, because it's just going to confuse you. But if you're going to understand the thrust of this word, the very person himself, God, Elohim he called him, He said, that's who Abraham confronted. Same one today. I said, I thought it was Jehovah. That's merely a name of relationship. He could have 1,000 compound titles on Jehovah. It wouldn't make him 1,000 people. And he could revert any time he wanted to any one of those names or several names at one time. See? All right. Oh, brother, the hour that the token is to be displayed is at hand. See, now you got to watch that one. We can see it. What's he talking about? Getting out of here. We know that we are near the end now for all kinds of messages, up to show signs and wonders. Now, you know that this refers to false anointed. I didn't preach false anointed until later on. This is 64. That was in 58. I mean, in 65. September, he preached false anointed. You get the. This was in rather 63. September, 63. It was just roughly 2 years later, he preached the anointed one's end time. Yet he brings it right out here. All kinds of signs and wonders. All kinds of messages. All kinds of ideas. See? Now here we go back for what the church has got to do. The token has got to be displayed. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Nothing else would work. It must be the blood. Now, what's he saying here? There is a token here in the person of Almighty God to lead us out. There is a baptism with the Holy Ghost that comes from that token, which is our token. But that is a great token, the great giver of tokens that appears at the end time. Our token is a little tiny bit. Now, we don't intend to go very far tonight. Now listen, you know my figures here I got out of a science magazine. Now we got scientists here, but I don't think they could argue these figures, because who keeps figures like this in mind if he even knew them? Now the odds against any two individuals being born exactly alike are astronomical, except for identical twins. Now, you know there's really no such thing as really true identical twins, but there's such a thing as looking and say, hey, they're exactly like to look at. But you couldn't get anything perfectly exact. But it doesn't matter. Let's read the figures. There are more than 8 million ways the 23 chromosomes of a mother and the 23 of a father can combine. 8 million factors just there that could show up in that child. That's what lies in teensy-weensy chromosomes, of which the male sperm, 15,000, goes across the diameter of one hair. And though the ova is much greater than sperm, they're much greater, you still got to take a microscope. The odds against any two of their children having the same combination of chromosomes are about 70 trillion to one. In other words, 70 trillion. I don't even know what that looks like. What's that, about 12 zeros? How many? Yeah. And then they tell me, according to British, that's not really true, because a billion is much more to the British than they are to us. I don't know. Coming out of Canada, I learned that. Yeah, that's right. There's a difference in the British. I think they got it down to Googles or something. They call it 70 trillion to one. In two little specks that cannot be seen unless under a high-powered microscope. Now they're actually there as though they were boxcars. Understand what I'm saying? Just as though they were elephants or boxcars or universes. They're just real and they're there. Amen. And every one of them with those combinations can produce exactly what this is saying here. And it boggles the mind. And since each chromosome may have 1,250 genes, the odd against two identical individuals reaches numbers so high as written with one followed by 9,031 zeros. Now that's what I'm trying to get across to you. If that's in the human sperm and human egg, and that's all it takes to make a life, and that's there, I mean actually there. Right, amen. Because it came from the sources. Then what is in the individual from God? One drop of the Holy Ghost. Man, if the attributes in there are one followed by 9,000 zeros, what do you get in God or from God? And you still haven't got God. Right, right. Amen. That's what this whole thing is again about. That's where I take my stand, what I believe Brother Branham was teaching. God, the entire and then some. One followed by 9 billion zeros. No, trillion. No, 9,000. We'll get trillion because it's human being. That's infinite. How are you going to figure it? Well, listen here, Brother Sitcher. One followed by 9,000 zeros is just as good as infinity. Any one of us, just try and work it out yourself. Fact. You get nowhere. Just as good. But when you have God standing there, see? So that's what we're trying to bring across tonight, which I believe the prophet is trying to show us. Now, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. The blood was not the real thing. It stood for the real thing. Then so does one drop of the Holy Ghost stand for God Himself. That's what we're looking at. See? Nothing else would work. It must be the blood. Now, the Holy Ghost is our token from God. As a great scholar, theologian, Baptist brother, fine man, fine character, came to me one time, said, Brother Branham, he said, you talking about the Holy Ghost. He said, why, that's nothing new. We've taught it all through the ages. I said, well, he said, we received the Holy Ghost. I said, when did you receive it? He said, when I believe. So I knew he's a Baptist. I know Baptist theology. He'd say that. I said, then Paul said in Acts 19 to a bunch of group of Baptists, which a Baptist minister had been one of John's converts, was proving by the Bible that Jesus was the Christ. When he passed through the upper coast of Ephesus, he found certain disciples said to him, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? I think that Dr. What's his name again? McCrossan. Great. Presbyterian theologian that loved Dr. Price and believed in healing, believed in the Word of God. He said the literal translation of that, if you want to pin it right down, is having believed, have you received the Holy Ghost? You have to believe first. Then you go down, you receive the Holy Ghost. They said, we do not know whether there be any Holy Ghost. Then he asked how they were baptizing, or how they were baptized. They hadn't been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, the sacrificial lamb. They were not identified with him at all. They just believed it, like the medicine sitting there, and hadn't taken it. Paul commanded them to be baptized over again in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he did this, then the token came upon them. In other words, God gave him himself. When God gives the Holy Ghost to them that obey him, God does not per se give himself to them. That's only to a prophet. And in what measure only God and the prophet knows.
That's right, amen.
But to you and me, it's no more than a drop of sperm. That's all. Just don't get, but remember what's in it.
Yes.
See, I'm just trying to give you a human illustration, you see, understand, that you're not being sold short.
Hallelujah.
But it's very strange how people full of the Holy Ghost, that they think they are, sure act as though they are God.
Yeah.
Your little license is allowed there as a legate, but you better be careful how you take that, because license is a horrible thing, unless you paid the price. They were identified by the works and signs of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues through them, prophesying and magnifying God. Through seven church ages, that's fine. But that's not now. It'll go on right now. That's great. Fine. Nobody's against it. Nobody. No way, shape, and form. Just bear it out. Prove it out. Put it in order. Do what God said to do with it. After all, it's His gifts. It's not yours and mine. You know. Or the neighbor said, well, I tell you, you can use my car. I'll leave it in your garage. But do me a favor. Just be careful, eh? You know, it's kind of like the kid that gets permission to use his dad's car and he wants to impress his girlfriend, so he lets on his car. People are just that ridiculous as God. Like they own God or something. It won't work. God owns the gifts. God owns everything. That's why Brother Brown set the church in order in that principle, and we've got to be very careful. All right, now look at it. They hadn't been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the sacrifice lamb. So Paul revealed the correct baptism. And the token came upon them. William Branham preached the correct baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit came to the church. Now, you'll notice in here that believing was not necessarily receiving, because there are two kinds of believing. One's really believing, and one is just mental. If you get a real belief, you're going to go through with it. So you see, they just believed it in the sense it was something to them in the mechanical. Like medicine sitting there, they hadn't taken it. But Paul commanded them to be baptized over again in the name of Jesus Christ. That opened the door. You talk about keys to the kingdom. You want a key to the kingdom? Repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you walk right in. Well, that's the scripture. How can you beat the scripture? They were identified with their sacrifice. Now, they weren't before. See? there was a sacrifice and the life had left it. The life had propitiated and the blood now covered. All sin is wiped out. But you've got to have the life. Let's go to Hebrews, the 10th chapter. And we'll see that. It says, for by one offering, verse 14, it perfected forever them that are sanctified. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness. That's the other words, Brother Brand said, the blood of Jesus Christ perfects the bride. It says right here. Whereof the Holy Ghost is a witness to us. For after that he also said before, this is the covenant I'll make with them in those days, saith the Lord. I'll put my law in their hearts and so on. Now, I don't know what that all means. I haven't checked it out. See what Brother Branham said about it. But there's one thing we can rest assured here, that the covenant, as Brother Branham said, is null and void unless you have the token. Okay, I told you the covenant that God gave Abraham. Genesis 15, 13, 14. I'm going to put them down in Egypt, or some other country. They'll be oppressed. I'm going to bring them out. He had a covenant. But that covenant was abrogated without the blood. So therefore, those who say, I received the Holy Ghost and I believe, have abrogated the covenant. See? Brother, the word of Jesus himself said, you have made void my commandments by your tradition. You've annulled every promise. Those who do not come in line with the revealed word of God at this hour, talk of the rapture all they want. They have voided the promise of the rapture. So that's the Bible. And got vindication to prove it. Now, they were identified their sacrifice. And the Holy Ghost is our identification. It is what identifies us as Christians, not our membership in churches, or not our understanding of the Bible, not how much you know about the Bible, it's how much you know about the author, or how much he changes it, how much the author is living in you. See, this is what I know the Bible. I follow that word. I do this. And that certainly they can. Some are tremendous at it. I won't argue. But is Christ within? Now, it is yourself gone. You're no more. You reckon yourself dead. And the token is what lives in you. And it is not your life, it is he. Paul said, the life I now live. He lived a different life from what he once did. It is not I, but Christ lives in me. That's Galatians 2 and 20. That's also confirmed. God in you willing and do me good service. Also the stature of perfect man. See, those virtues in us, they're born into us by the Holy Spirit. We don't say, well, I just think I'll go out and get me some faith and get me some virtue and get me some brotherly kindness and I'll go out and get me some temperance and I'll go out and get me some of this and that and the other thing. Well, you could really do that. You could do it by just taking a little psychological bath or a little psychological input. Sure. A little experience. Like that boy I told you about. He had a terrible time with himself, I guess, temper and what have you. Until he prayed to God and he got oil on his hands and that did it. Now you tell me what oil in your hands. I got the mechanic would be the most blessed man in the world. Is there something wrong, brother, sister? Something radically, and I said that my joke on purpose. Radically wrong. There is the identified token that God requires. What's the identified token? The Holy Spirit. Now, does it mean identified as this is identified? Not necessarily. See? It means God identifies that as what you're to have. You would have something, this, something, that. God said, well, I'm going to tell you what I want you to have. And this is it. And when I see it, that's it. See? Now, there is the identified token that God required. Identified with our sacrifice. Now you see, back in Israel's time, they were identified, but not like we are. That life couldn't come upon them. But now the life can come back on us. The life of our Savior in us. The Holy Spirit. Oh, what positive token. There cannot be any more token. Now that sounds like strange language. There cannot be any more token. Well, sure. That's true. Look at it this way. What greater thing? There's nothing greater. See, well, I think maybe that sounds all right, but you know, those crazy Pentecostals, they talk about talking in tongues. And you know they're all crazy. Well, they climb walls and everything else. They lie on the floor and kick their feet in the floor and they froth them out and try to... We've been all through that. I've been accused of that myself. No one ever frothed them out yet. Never climbed a wall. It'd be quite an experience. Never did roll either. Although that's fine for pure joy. A kid you can roll downhill. You're very ecstatic. A lot of things you do. See? Oh, see, I wouldn't have that. No, no way, no way. That's crazy. Shows where they're at. See? Nothing to them. See? Now, it tells you that no matter what you put your faith and trust in, there cannot be any token other than this token. And furthermore, since it was given, there's nothing will ever take its place. How could it? You mean to tell me the first church age, full of the Holy Ghost, the next, right down the line, they all got to receive the Holy Ghost. So once this was given, this was it. That's why it says the earnest of your inheritance, and you're sealed into the day of redemption. See? No matter what happens. When it comes resurrection time, there is going to be a resurrection period, and God's Spirit is on every cell. Even though it disintegrated, went back to gas. It doesn't matter. See? Nothing else will do. Not a thing. Oh, my. If you could only catch the thought of it. Now, listen. If I had the power this morning with words to express and place into your soul, that is not your ears, but your soul. If you should see the guarantee of it, it makes you so relaxed. See? Now, I said, if I could just get you to see this, and then you receive it. Now, look. Look at brother, sister, the check was out. Oh, here's an Israelite. And he said, well, he said that stuff, he said, about the blood of the Lamb. Now, he wasn't a very good Israelite. He was a mixed multitude. He had likely several grandmothers that were all Egyptian women, and maybe an uncle or two Egyptian men thrown into the bargain. And so, well, I think myself, all he wants is blood. We'll just get the blood of the rooster. I'm not going to kill that lamb. That lamb's been my favorite little pet. I've had that lamb for, and I'm just not going to get rid of that lamb. It looks like he can make a fine sheep. I'll have more sheep out of that one, so we'll just take the blood of rooster. That wouldn't work. See? No way at all. It wasn't going to work. See? Well, so I say I might try something else. No, it's not going to work. See, it can't. Because, you see, that is the guarantee. See? It's got to be the Spirit of God, that little microcosm. Little thimbleful, what do you want to call it, from God's great infinite ocean. And he said, when I see that, it checks right back. See, now a person going by the door, he couldn't fool a death angel. Amen. But you could fool somebody else. Say, what is that, rooster blood or is that the lamb blood? Maybe he couldn't tell. Like Mary Baker Eddy said, there's no efficacy in the blood of Jesus Christ than the blood of a rooster. She knows by now she lied. She knows by now, and all her friends with her are going to find out too. Because you can't blaspheme God. Now, you might forgive her because they say she was an epileptic, insane person. Well, that's possible. So we'd be gracious and say maybe she'll make it on the grounds of, what about her followers? And you think God can't tell his own life? You know what I'm going to tell you something. Of all the world's creation, man is the stupidest. Even a penguin can tell which egg is hers. God himself said, the birds of the air can follow a special way they know it, and the oxen knows his mastership of my people. He said, he ain't got nothing. The man thinks he can have something different from what God said he's supposed to have. There's no way, brother, sister. Now, here's the beautiful thing of identification. You know today you can have part of that spirit that gave his picture. Part of that God that categorically came down here in the form of a pillar of fire and vindicated by the way he has always done it through a prophet. So he had a perfect outreach. We have a perfect commitment from him and a perfect committal to him. Now he said it makes you so relaxed. Let's look at that relaxation. I've given this many times. Never too many times, when you got the Word of God. It says over here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. He said here, seeing it's a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. And you are troubled with us, relax. You're the trouble to relax with us when the Lord Jesus Christ shall be revealed in heaven with his mighty angel, just like over here.
Hallelujah.
Came down as a judge. Set the thing in motion. Judgment's already in the earth. So there you are, see, now he said relax. Why? Because you've identified. That takes you to Mount Carmel with Elijah. Let the real God, who God be God, he said, if Baal's God, fine, worship him. If God's God, worship him. Let's find out who's God. So they found out who was God. We're in the same boat right today, the same position. What if you had committed a crime? You're going to be tried in the federal court, and you know they found you guilty. What are you going to do? And you're going to die. You're going to the electric chair, gas chamber, whatever public execution they had. Whatever the penalty was, you knew you're guilty. You knew you were guilty, and you must die. If you don't get some attorney to represent you, who can get you out of this thing? Now you want the best attorney you can have. Then getting an attorney was a good, shrewd attorney. You would feel your case was a little bit better. You could relax a little bit because you had an attorney. But still there'd be the question whether this attorney could change the judge's idea or change the jury. If this attorney with his shrewd speaking and knowing of the law could change that and could plead your case and prove that, you should live. But yet, in all of his great authority and the great speech that he could make and the impression you put upon the jury or have the judge, maybe you'd get relaxed for a few minutes. But still there'd be the question, can he do it? But in this case, the judge himself has taken our turn. God became man. There was no attorney could do it. We couldn't find one. Moses and the law and prophets, nothing could do it. In other words, you can't find anything in the Bible that's going to get you off the hook. See, there's no way, because there is no, said if you eat, you die. See? And so the judge became both jury, attorney, and judge himself, and took the justice of his law in his own hands and paid the price of it himself. How much more secure could we be? And send his own life back upon us as a witness that he has accepted it. God accepted the sacrifice, and the Holy Spirit coming back upon you and me proves that the sacrifice was not only accepted by God, but that we accepted it, and he accepted us. So it becomes a complete cycle, circle. Send his own life upon us as a witness to you that he has accepted. How safely, yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. In other words, the Lamb rose, as I mentioned to you before, became his executor, his own executor, of his own estate to see that we'd get it. Kept it right in his hands. Nobody else can do it. He alone can do it, and he's doing it for us. He's the great Redeemer. Now, what's he done? Took the book out of the hands of the one on the throne, the Holy Spirit on the throne. Ripped the seals off, put the book back, Book of Redemption. Climbed on the throne. That Holy Spirit came down here, right there, there. The Book of Redemption. And we, hearing that word, received the gospel call and knew our names were called. Yeah. See, there was a calling first of all. Come in. Then there's a calling by a name. Now, if your name had not been on that book, you wouldn't have heard that call. Because the sheep hear the call. And it's the Lamb's book of life. And the name is on the Lamb's book of life. So when a call goes for the Lamb, you answer because your name is on it. And he calls your name by the word. Sure, the gospel. Right, brother, sister, that's true. Paul says so. Not in many words is that, but that's the way it is. You see? Now, when he becomes both judge, jury, and attorney, he pleaded our case. We found guilty by his own law, and he came and took the guilty person's place that was in the sanctuary. He took his sin, took it upon himself, died, paid the price, shed his blood, and gave back his own token, his own life. Now, let's understand that God is Redeemer. God is Savior. He said, there's no Savior beside me. Well, then there's no Redeemer beside him. Then God does not delegate anything to anybody. He does it himself. Now, that's the thing you and I have got to come to understand. Not just here, although we got it here. We've got to pray and believe God that somehow this is going to inflame our very souls until that's all we know. My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. My soul doth magnify the Lord. Everything wrapped up in him. Because he did not get a substitute. He was the substitute. Yes, hallelujah. That's why I see all this talk about three gods in heaven. The Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And the Father creates Adam and Eve and makes all this world. And lets the devil loose. Like I've said years and years ago. Sovereignty of God. Here's a man, he owns a python, our boa constrictor. He says, I just think, God, maybe I'll put this little pussycat in where my boa constrictor is, for the python. And next morning, no pussycat. Oh, poor little pussycat. What happened to you anyway? As though he didn't know. Now you're going to tell me a sovereign God doesn't know many, many things that you and I perhaps don't want him to know or think he shouldn't know or can't know? All of the plan of redemption was in him because he's a redeemer. And Brother Branham explained how it was unbecoming to God for a son to false a woman and know nothing against a woman was not in the original creation and thereby became a trap. And God took her down and said, this is the one that's going to cause you to fall if you fall. He went right on and did it anyway. So, well, good God, that was free moral agency right there. Adam trapped himself. He blew it. What did God do? Came right down. The Creator now becomes the great Redeemer, the great Keeper, the great Shepherd, the great everything. That's exactly why you have the Spirit of God given to you in a measure. Where it says He giveth not the measure of the Spirit to Christ without measure. He gave Moses a measure. 70 people volunteered, or Moses wanted to help him in judging and doing the work. He took the Spirit off of Moses, gave it to 70, and I bet you there's more left on Moses than in the 70. You better believe it. And God wasn't diminished. That's what we're trying to say. So what does God do? There's no more surety than God Himself, and only God can recognize God. Right. You may think we can, but it's only because God gives a channel to recognize. So that's the great token. There's a part of God Himself. Why we're perfect. The case is dismissed. There is no more sin to the believer. The blood makes him perfect. The Holy Spirit gives him a robe, makes him perfect. Oh, God have mercy. If the people can't see that, that there is no more case. He that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, eternal life, and shall not come to judgment, but is passed from death to life. There is the case. What case? The case against you. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me. And you can't believe unless you're redeemed. See, for as many as believe were ordained. That's what it says in Acts the 13th chapter. They were ordained to it. There's no case. There is a case. That's it. Your case dismissed. No more case to it. Amen. Then safely with the token applied, when death begins to smite against the door, it has no control. Yes, the token is applied. Only the token is recognized now. He did that so that the token could come. It might be he died, but I don't know. I didn't check it out. The token was God's life. And when God made the first man, he made him a son. And the son was so corrupt, he listened to his wife instead of God. The woman listened to the devil instead of her husband. And when they did, it so corrupted them together and brought a pollution. And he knew that when they did that, they would have to bring children into the world. The fruit in the midst of the tree could not be touched. And then when it was, they brought this sin upon themselves. Therefore, the whole human race that was born was in sin. There was no way to come out. Then God came down. There is only one way to get him back. That's to get him back a son again. How can he do it when his own law stood there and he said, he is condemned? Then the Father himself became one of us. That is the real Lamb. That is the purpose he had in mind. That is the reason the Lamb was so identified in the Garden of Eden, knowing that the Lamb and Dove would meet at one time, when the Lamb and Dove would be together. When we all see that, we can all be together. And he was willing to make such a sacrifice. Now, listen, he's talking in the live line here. We discussed about chemistry. Now, look, God is spirit and he is not chemistry per se. Although there's, don't think that the spirit is not chemistry. In the sense that spirit is not real. Spirit is real, 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 real. The things which aren't real are those things out there. Touch, taste, smell, feel, and so on. See? The real stuff, like the inner man that perishes not, the outer man is going. Now here's God. Essentially, intrinsically, God, Holy Spirit. Now, he's got to do something for man that he's made flesh and blood. Now he made man spirit-like. Then he made a chemistry. I like that terminology. He made chemicals, he made a form. But just use the fact that that's a good term. He made a chemistry. I think Brother Branham did a perfect job in one word, as you know, get a whole treatise. So, all right, he's got man now in a chemistry, got him in a form. Now, this man must be redeemed, and he's got to be redeemed body, soul, and spirit, because man is an earth creature. His roots may have been in heaven, but his feet are on earth, and they're going to stay there. Now, you may think different, but I got news for you. We're all coming back, provided we go away. Come right back here. in the glorified form. It'll always be that way, see? Now, God starts with himself. Now, you've got all of these attributes, which are more than 9,000 zeros. They're 9 trillion zeros. All that lies in God. Now, what's he going to do? The same as he did with you and me. He reduces the attributes that are in the Spirit to a very old, infinitesimal form, minute form. And he forms the chemistry for it. In other words, he makes a body for it. Now, that's all that he did when he became a man. So, therefore, as Brother Branham said in another, I think Christ reviewing his own word, that the body is so much God that it's a part of God. Well, it certainly is a part of God. It certainly is. See? Now, he's got a chemistry, as he says, that the life may be in. Now, that body, literally then, is the body of God, the body that was prepared. Now, down there in the River Jordan, Almighty God can come in, and now you've got complete God manifest in human flesh. Remember, all the attributes of Godhead were in Christ bodily. The same as in you life, all the attributes of your parents, whether you know it or not. And I got my little theories about some of those things, and to me, they're tremendous when you begin to realize just what all lies there. All right. Now, God came down, and he came down, as I have described, through that human structure. And when the blood was shed, it was a far superior blood to a human blood, because man was not even human anymore. No, he's mixed up. And this life was superior to any form that God ever made, because it's a new one. Remember, there's a man from heaven, there's a man from earth, they're different. All right, now when he died upon Calvary, the blood was shed. And you got the chemistry lying there, that's fine. But the life came out of it. Now, that life paid the price of death, the shedding of blood, to remit every single sin, and make that fallen son and daughter so perfect by the blood that the Spirit of God could come in and say, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. With that, you have a high priest. The same one. All of these things conspire to show you that God has placed us back where we were in the beginning and even beyond there. Because I've said many times that Adam and Eve were innocent, but they weren't righteous. You and I are not innocent, but we are righteous, which is far greater. Now, God has done that. Now, brother, sister, listen, all this thing hinges upon one thing, and that is whether you and I have been baptized with the Holy Ghost. Whether you and I have a little bit of the life that came down here at this end time. Now see, there's your perfect, positive identification. You have your Mount Carmel showdown, brother, sister, whether you want to admit it or not.
Amen.
You've got it. You can serve the gods of this world, the denomination, the organization. You can do what you want. Be my guest. I've got no control of you. I'm not going to try to ride herd on you. I see faces tonight I've never seen before, at least one. That doesn't mean a thing to me. I don't want to try to get you in my roots and your roots in mine, your way in mine in yours. No way, shape, and form. Not interested. I would trust that you would see what I'm saying and believe perhaps what I believe. But I'm not pressing for that. I'm merely here witnessing to people and teaching people that how we see this thing, this so great thing that happened in our day. Now he said here, when his own law stood there and said he's condemned. Then the Father himself became one of us. That's the real Lamb. That's the purpose he had in mind. That's the reason the Lamb was identified in the Garden of Eden, knowing that the Lamb and Dove would meet at one time. It's true. The sacrifice given, the human instrumentality of God in a human form, would bring forth the life of God. They met. When we all see that, we can all be together. And he was willing to make such a sacrifice. In other words, when you can see what God really did, and you receive it, knowing that when you seek God for the Holy Spirit, you're seeking for the identified one. That hasn't been, brother, for 6 ages. Sure identified in the sense of the word. I agree with that. God never left himself to witness in people. But you never saw this. This is evening time. Brother Brown said the token could not come into come in till the evening time. I think in one place, I'm not sure he said existence. I doubt that he said existence. Unless he meant it could only come in this period of existence. Because that token always existed. But it could not exist for the church until this time. Why? Because he compared it to going out time. And it is going out time by the grace of Almighty God. Now that the token could be applied, that we're no more aliens, no more strangers, but we're sons and daughters of God, both Adam and Eve, the woman and man, joined together, our sons and daughters of God, in Jesus Christ, by his great sacrifice. That's true. Why by the sacrifice? You don't get joined by sacrifice, but because of a sacrifice.
Amen.
Identified. So there would be no mistake. The seed of this life that must be planted in the earth of this body, that's a perishable seed. In other words, he said there's a seed that's going to come to this perishable body. Already has a perishable seed in it. See? And the life, if it's a perverted life in the seed, it perishes with the seed. He's trying to tell you something. Look, the second death ahead. If you're not born again, you're gone. If you're not identified, you're gone. Now look, the church doesn't want this. And there are people amongst us don't want this. No, they don't. You don't identify simply with a message, brother, sister. Everybody's got a message. You identify with a messenger. The Lord himself descended with a shout, which was a message. Not just a message. No way. Brother Brown said that was just a voice. Wasn't what I knew. Just a voice. You got a perverted life? I got one. We're born that way. There's something wrong. And the Spirit of God comes in. It's not wrong any longer. Because the blood is covered. The Holy Spirit proves it's covered. Proves you're part of that sacrifice. Now proves you're part of God. Right? Because the Holy Spirit's in there. And God says, I see that. What, do you see that without the blood? The identification? No way. The life has come back. The man stands here perfect. See? But he put eternal life into it. You and me. Identified his own. But in the resurrection, he'll raise it up again. Sure, we could die. Nothing can be lost. You see what I mean? There it is. It cannot perish now. That life lays over it. It's a token. Lies over that little body. Lies over that soul of that person. There is a token over there. The Holy Spirit that belongs to God. It's his. Didn't say it was God. It said it belonged to God. You follow? There's a difference here, brother, sister. Belongs to God. It's his. When I see the token, I'll pass over you. A positive token. No doubt. The Holy Spirit's our token. Therefore, when you receive the Holy Ghost, you pass from death to life. That is all there is to it. Don't try to stretch it this way, pull back that way. That's all there is to it. Don't add, don't take. Because life is in you. You can no more perish. All right? What's it going to do at the end time? There's going to come a people who can't die either. Not just raise them up at the end time. But never perish. Immortality sweeps in upon the scene, according to Malachi, the fourth chapter. The Bible said, he that is born of God does not commit sin, for he cannot sin, for the seed of God. Amen. The seed of God remains in him. How can he sin when the sinless God is with him? When he is in a sinless God, how can he sin? Now notice how he's putting this whole thing in here. Because Christ is in you and you're in Christ. No matter what he has done, the blood covered him. He's a new creature now. His desires and ambitions are in heaven because he changed a cock, a bird, a wheat. In other words, the way he lived. His desires aren't the same as they once were. Sure. And he displays it. You say, oh, I believe that. And still sinning? My, you're deceived. You can't display anything but the token. Now, you say, well, Brother Brown's got us down to works program now. He's got us down to where he's denying the very fact that fruit is not the evidence of the Holy Ghost. He's denying now that love is not the evidence. Oh, no, he's not. No way, shape, and form. He's standing right here. It's a whole... He said, how can you say you've got the Holy Ghost and be in unbelief? Unbelief sin? How can you say you've got the Holy Ghost and just believe what God's doing, the word of the hour? See, brother, since you've got to put the whole thing together, you're not living in Pentecost anymore. You're not living with West Indian. You're living now. What's going on now? What is God doing now? What's behind this? Well, I can tell you one thing. What Luther, Wesley, and Pentecost has isn't this. That was that years ago, not the pillar of fire. Just the Baptist. But it's not this. It's all over. It's a new message. New word. End time when light only shines in Goshen. The plague of death is ready to fall. Now the thing is this, listen. If you believe really with all your heart, baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ positively brings the token. No evidence of sensations and feelings and this and that. But you know that you know. Why? Because the evidence is already there. You don't take an evidence when you've got an evidence. That's ridiculous. That's trying to take aspirin to make the aspirin work you already took. Well, that's not too bad as a thought, in a way. But you can't get something to make this work. When this already's proven itself, what do you want?
Amen.
That's what he's trying to show the people here. Now, don't turn that down and say, well, I agree with that. Go all the way. What is he here for?
Yes.
He's here for me.
Hallelujah.
He's here for me. See, that's the whole thing. And you believe. Then what's the next step? Well, the next step is you believe every word and say amen. And then from that time on, it's the striving to get out of the way.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
That'd be glorified. Sometimes it's difficult, sometimes not. It all depends what God wants out of you. But that's it. Now, that's as far as we're going to go tonight. We've gone perhaps farther than I intended to go. But that's as far tonight. Now, we'll continue perhaps next Sunday. But you get the picture, brother, sister. This goes in two parallels. Don't ever forget it. But just as sure as you're alive, you're going to draw a wrong conclusion somewhere down the line. But here's a man at the end time, looking back through the ages, watching carefully, and putting you right here where you belong. You stay where you belong, even though he looks back through the ages. Because an eagle, brother, sister, goes way up high. And let me tell you something. The higher he gets, the better he can look down. And the higher he gets, the better he can look up. You and I are not in that category. But we can bore his eyes. Great preacher one day preached a sermon. Nazarene preaches, I see through the eyes of the dead. A woman died and left her corneas for a transplant. And for the first time, this man could see. Saw his wife and his children and saw people around about him. And he said, I see through the eyes of the dead. He sees through the eyes of the prophet. Then. By the grace of Almighty God, let's rise to this time, shall we? Gracious Heavenly Father, we're about to go on now to the service of the foot washing communion, Lord. To glorify thy name, Father, we just pray that somehow we've gotten down within our souls to see what the prophet was saying. Perhaps, Lord, in some respects we don't get it just as clear as we'd like to, but we know, Lord, that he was for this hour, he was saying these things. And we know, Lord God, just as sure as Paul the Apostle full of the Holy Ghost, Peter, James, and John, and those men back there full of the Holy Ghost, we believe, Lord, that Polycarp and Irenaeus, we believe, Lord, that Columban and Martin and Luther and all those men, Lord, and we believe that as your word is said, and the prophet said it so many times, we're sure he said it. By one spirit, you're all baptized into one body. That's how you get into Christ. Lord, all through the ages, and now we have the positive identification. An age now, Lord, that brings us into immortality, takes us into the millennium, of going out. And Lord, we know that we've been blind to these things all these years. Yes, we have. But we're not blind anymore. We can see absolutely your word is 100% what the prophet said, and is 100% with yours, Lord. So we know that our eyes have seen. We've literally handled and felt and know these things by a way that others have wanted to and not known the truth of this hour, Father. Oh God, may we respect you and be so sincere, Lord, that we put away all vanity, pride, all gainsaying, any superfluous speech, anything amongst us, Lord, that doesn't obtain, that shouldn't be. Help it all to go down, Lord, through the blood, O Christ, that great cleansing blood. Cleanse it right out of us, and by the Holy Spirit, burn out all the dross, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Lord, we're still taking too much up with the things of this world. We look around and we're critical, Father. We look at ourselves and there's no room for criticism. For the pot cannot call the kettle black, as the prophet often said. Help us, Father, tonight to just get right down to the one-to-one confrontation, the one-to-one. It's just the way it's always been. I can't live for my neighbor, can't live for my wife, can't live for my children, neither can they for me. Much as we'd like it, just won't work, Lord. Help us to realize and then each one then live with Christ. Magnifying, glorifying, that's all we want, Lord. That's what we really want in this life. Lord, how bad we want it, I don't know. Maybe we don't want it near what we think. Father, if we don't, help us to want it as never before. So it really will be God in us, willing and doing his good pleasure. Lord, to that end we pray. Father, be someone here tonight that's not born again. We pray that by putting faith in you, not the uplifted hand, not the step forward, but nothing, but reach out now and say, my God, to thee I come. For Lord, we know if you can't do it and don't do it, it won't be done anyway. Nobody can do it, but you can do it. So, Father, every heart here tonight, may every heart be sanctified for the glory of Almighty God, and not one miss this great convocation which will come shortly. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray, amen. Just remain standing if you like, and we're just going to serve the table of the Lord.